right, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Proverbs 16. We'll be there in a second. This week, what I'm sharing is going to be a much more simple message. It's not going to be some deep exegetic dive into Scripture, and we're going to get, you know, a minor in theology around here. It's going to be an experiential lesson that I encountered a month or so back. Because when David came to me and said, "Hey, Garrett, I'm going to be out of town. Would you mind coming up this weekend and sharing?" I was like, "Yeah, actually, that sounds great. I've got this thing that happened to me recently, and I've got a little bit of a word about it, and I'd like to share it." And he's like, "Awesome. Go do that." Okay, so rewind the clock. I have a family friend. We have a family friend who has property out in Lakey. It's a couple hundred acres, beautiful property, kind of goes down this canyon, and we've been going out there now a good 12 years or so, and it's one of those places you can just feel God's presence. The people who own it, Ted and Missy, they just steward that so well, and they've turned that into a place where people can come and encounter God. You know, it's not just, oh, this is a fun getaway, you know, ranch for the weekend. It's a retreat every time you go out there. And it's such a special place in our hearts. It's, you know, Sarah met their daughter in grad school, and that's how we got to know them. They invited us out one time. And just families lined right up. And so as long as I can remember, that whole time since we started going out there, Ted has been talking about building a new pump house. And it's like one of his dreams. I would love to have this pump house. Because right now, their current system is such that it's very small. It's reliant on a lot of things that tend to break a lot. If anybody's done water systems, it pulls directly from the creek. So, you know, if it freezes, you're in trouble. And if it the creek goes low, you're in trouble. If the chlorination system breaks, you're in trouble. Because it's not like you can just pop down to Walmart. I mean, you're way out in Lakey. There's no chance you're getting to it. So Ted's been talking about this new pump house as long as I can remember. And so he reached out to me because he said, "Hey, Garrett, would you mind helping me build, tear down the old structure? I'm going to have a guy come in and build a whole new system, but it needs a building around it to house it, keep it insulated." So I was like, sure. So the background on that is that growing up, I know pretty little, honestly, about construction, but my dad knows a ton. That's all he's ever done, as far as, you know, as long as I can remember it, professionally, that's what he's done. And so, by the nature of having an awesome dad that teaches you those things, you soak that up. Now, I say that in the sense that I've soaked that up as the worker, not the guy planning it. So it's been nice to have him. Okay, so I go to meet with Ted, and I'm thinking, oh, he just wants an extra hand, an extra hammer to come out there and help. So we sit down, he's got his plans laid out, kind of the drawing of this is what he wants, and we're talking about it, getting excited. Yeah, this is going to be awesome, Ted. And he goes, "Okay, Garrett, so you just tell me what the material is going to be, what's the cost, what's the timeline going to look like, what tools are we going to need?" And I'm like, you know, I'm keeping straight face, mind you. Internally, I'm going, "Ted, you've picked the wrong man, my guy." That is, oh boy, I don't do that professionally. I've never done that professionally, right? That's a big jump from, oh, you know, handyman in your garage to let's build a structure that actually will pass code and not break on you. And so I go, "Okay, cool, Ted, that sounds great. Well, I'll get back to you." So immediately, I call my dad on the drive home. I was like, "Hey, Dad, I'm gonna have to draw on you a little bit here, dude." So graciously, you know, he walked me through it. I'm like, "Hey, these are the things you're gonna need. This is how you're gonna plan this out. This is the steps, you know, in general." And I had an idea of the steps. Obviously, we've done it many times with him. But again, there's a big difference between being the guy who planned it all and the guy who just shows up and swings a hammer. Big difference. Okay, so fast forward a couple weeks. We've got our weekend lined out there of like, okay, we're gonna go out there on Labor Day. We're gonna work this thing out. And so Ted has reached out, got a bunch of guys to come help. He's about six of us. And it's not a terribly big building. It's 12 by 18. So if you can picture, I mean, if I've from here to about there, that's about the extent of that building. That's not too terribly big. That's pretty easy. It's not like we're building a building like this. I was talking to a friend last weekend, actually, after church, and he was describing, he does this professionally, describing the 300-page volume of all of the drawings, the plans to build these massive buildings. So, you know, grain of salt, it's like, goodness gracious, what are you complaining about, Garrett? But to each our own. So we get out there, everything's ordered, we're ready to rock and roll. So start getting guys on task. Hey, okay, you guys, you're going to be over here, you're going to cut studs for me, right? I need them this certain length, I built you a jig. You guys, I have a template. This, go cut rafters for me. Awesome. Everybody gets on their task, and then we start putting up walls and doing our thing. And as I'm putting up these walls, the sun's baking down on us, I look over, and some of the guys that I've put on studs now are just sitting down doing nothing, just sitting in the shade watching us work. And I'm thinking, boys, don't you see us over here sweating it out? Like, what are y'all doing over there? So in my head, I'm going, come on, y'all got to get on your game. We've got a building that's got to happen. Y'all aren't doing anything about it. And so I'm sitting there just, and this is day one, and I'm kind of getting a little bit, not upset, but just a little antsy going, I don't know if this is going to get done this weekend. We're going to have to come back and do this. And so we knock out the rest of the day. It's kind of like continually watching people sit in the shade to some extent. And yeah. And that night, I'm just thinking, like, goodness gracious, what are we going to do here? And God, in his just awesome way, starts talking to me about how, Garrett, what you're not realizing is that while you know every step, I'd say that very loosely, while you have some idea of every step of this process, most of them don't know anything about this. They've just raised their hand and said, I'm willing to work. They don't know what needs to come next. They don't know that this step is after this step is after this step. Because if anybody, if you've ever built anything, you know that it's not just show up and thing goes up in the air. There's so many little steps that happen in between. It's like baking. Baking's the same way, right? For those of you who bake, so many little steps that have to happen to make that thing look correct, taste correct, all of those deals. So he's talking on my heart and saying, Garrett, they don't understand all the steps that you do. I've tasked you with being in charge here, and your job, right, is to explain and help coach them through all these steps and have that patience. And so it was like a cool moment just personally for me to go, wow, yeah, God, I see what you're talking about there. Turn the whole weekend around, amazing. You know, that shift in perspective of let me show you the steps along the way was huge, really huge. And so fast forward through the weekend, we are just knocking it out, doing great. God is continually just speaking on my heart that whole time of going, Garrett, here's the reality. When you're there, upset, looking at these guys staying still and sitting in the shade, I want you to see that in ways, you do that with me in your work. You know, obviously, I work here at the church. My job is ministry. It is youth ministry. And he's like, you get assignments and you think, oh, man, I went and did my thing. Awesome. You led that youth event. Y'all went to camp. And then what do? I go find a spot in the shade and sit down. And I'm like, man, look at how cool, look at how great I did. See all these kids I took out there and introduced them to Christ. And we talked about all these awesome holy things. Meanwhile, I'm just sitting on the sidelines watching everything happen around me, watching life go on, watching the kingdom spread, and I'm not doing anything. And he's like, you know, and that's the cool thing about how God operates. It wasn't from a place of finger wagging, hey, you bum, get off, you know, get out there and go to work. Because that's kind of, you know, honestly what I'm thinking, looking at these guys in real life going, what are y'all doing? Why are you, because they're not lazy guys. I know all these guys, they're not lazy. It's not like they're saying, we don't want to work. They knew what they're getting into. Why are you doing this? God doesn't do that. That's incredible. God talks to us in such a gentle, merciful way in coaching and fathering me into going, hey, I want you to not be somebody who sits in the shade and doesn't do work. And that was the lesson that he was downloading to me, which is, I think, applicable to all of us, which is As kingdom workers, we can't afford to be people who just do a task and then sit and do nothing and just watch out of the shade and have a glass of lemonade and watch everything go on. So look at Proverbs 16. This is verse 3. It says, commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be established. And your version may say words, works. Mine says activities. This verse is really cool because it inverts what we would think we would normally have to do. You'd think normally, God, I've come up with the best plan, and if you'll just put your rubber stamp on it, we can move forward and go with it. That's not the way it works. God's ways are not our ways. We all think of our own plans as just and right and the correct ones. But this wisdom from Solomon here tells us otherwise. Commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be established. That's the correct order. That's God's order that he wants from us of saying, hey, God, I want to work. I'm willing to work, be a part of your workers in the kingdom. And then he goes, hey, guess what? I've got awesome plans for you. I've got things that I want to do that I would love to partner with you and let's go get done. So just like in the real world, or in this world, I should say, when those guys were sitting still and they didn't know what was coming next, so they just sat on it. We, in many ways, do that same thing in the kingdom. We get our assignments, we do them, and then we sit on them, and we're not listening for God's voice to say, hey, here's what I have next for you. Right, because that's genuinely what a good worker does. A good worker's not just going, well, I clock in, clock out. They do their task, but then they're attentively listening to the boss of saying, okay, what's next? Right, they know, they understand, he's got the master plan. I can follow that plan. So they're listening for that voice to say, okay, here is your next assignment. And you'll notice I didn't say that a good worker jumps two steps ahead. Right, because that's the other flip side of that. We don't want to be people who say, okay, I've got you figured out, God. I see your plan. I've solved the plan. I know that you have me doing this, and I can see that I need to go do this step next and this step next and this step. And then pretty soon you go, well, did I ever check with God about if that was the steps I want to go? Right? You're off in the weeds at that point and not really following this awesome plan that God has laid out for you, that he has laid out for his kingdom. And so we can't be people that just jump ahead because we don't know the whole plan from beginning to end. We couldn't. Nobody in this room is capable of handling that level of sovereignty. That's why God's so beautiful. He understands everybody's individual needs and the needs of the world at the exact same time and has it planned out for us. What is our job? Our job is to be attentive and listen and move on the things he's calling to us. Because here's what's cool. Sometimes it is, all right, God, Garrett, here's your assignment. Awesome, you knocked that out. Now I have you in a place of rest. Garrett, I gave you your assignment. You knocked it out. Now, here's the next one, and here's the next one. If I'm not listening, I may miss that place of rest. I may miss the next assignment. That's what God's calling us to do. That's when God's talking about being kingdom workers. This is a part of it. When we look at Luke 10 here, let me bring this up right fast. Luke 10, verse 2. Jesus is sending out 72. He says, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Whew. The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Kind of humbling in many ways, if you think about that, because everybody likes to think, that's not me. That's somebody else. See, that's other people that are the non-few workers. I'm the worker. When in reality, we have to check and temper ourselves again, because this is Jesus talking to them. He understands something pretty profound, which is that by our nature, we can tend to want to sit still and not move. Because the Greek word here, actually, when it says, therefore pray to the Lord of harvest to send out the workers, it's not like, oh, here's a sandwich and some new clothes, go out and have a great time. That send out word is forceful without being violent. What it means, it's very similar to like casting out a demon. It's that level of intensity. So if you read between the lines there, Jesus is saying, I'm going to have to spur you on a little bit in ministry. Which is a good thing, though. It's a good thing because we're not called to do it by our own power, our own strength. We draw our strength from him. That's amazing. We don't have to come up with the master plan. We don't have to know every board, every nail, every tool that has to be used. We know the man who planned it all, and we have to follow that plan. The other thing about this harvest, because it says the harvest is abundant, we know that to be true. Look out in the world. There's brokenness everywhere. It's an unfortunate nature of this fallen world. There are people everywhere that need to hear the good news of Christ. The important thing for us to know about that harvest being abundant is that it is perishable to us. What do I mean by that? If anybody here grows fruit of any type, like let's think, like right now peaches are in season. If you looked at a peach tree and said, man, those peaches look great. Don't have time for it right now. Maybe I'll come back to them later. Wait 2 months. What's going to happen? Their birds are going to eat them. They're going to fall down. They're going to rot, right? Now, that's not to say that God is abandoning his people and letting them rot. What I mean by that is that we've been tasked with harvesting in this, and that's everybody here. We get our individual task of harvesting. That job is time sensitive. God is trying to reach people in that moment. When if we're the people that say, oh, I'm too busy right now. I'm not in peach picking mode, God. Then he goes, okay, next in line. Who is the next person that's going to raise their hand and come help me fulfill these tasks, fulfill these people? It's so important for us to remember that harvest being abundant is a call to us that it is, we have to move when God is calling us to move. Yeah. That we don't just sit on it and say, well, in my time, God. See, I've got a lot going on, God. I've got 3 kids, I've got a wife, I've got a job, I've got, so does everybody else. Being a kingdom worker is pretty simple. That's the crazy thing about it. It's not incredibly hard to understand that being a good worker means doing the task you're assigned and listening for the next one. It's really straightforward. What we have to learn to do is set aside the idea that we know the plan from beginning to end. Because again, we are not called to try and figure out and solve and Sudoku God's plan. I know. You know what's crazy too? Is that, here's the thing that's kind of twisted. The reason we like to do that and plan, who are we made in? We're made in God's image. God loves to make these plans. He gives that spirit of us of loving to plan. We have to temper though and not go, let me jump the train and now become the lead car. We're not called to that. We're called to use that gift in our given assignments and not try and solve everything from beginning to end. It's impossible. Ask anybody who's been around a long time. I mean, they will tell you that it's impossible. So being a willing kingdom worker is to say that you sit in a place of trusting and listening to God's voice about the things he has planned for you. The things he has planned for his kingdom, more so. Because the beauty is that in us following these plans of his kingdom, we are also included individually in that work in the amazing things that God's doing. It's not just, oh, you know, you're a worker, you're an expendable asset, I'm going to use you, and then you just go off to the side and all these people reap the benefit, then the harvest. It's no. We're equally a part of this amazing kingdom that God's building if we choose to be a part of it, right? If we choose to raise our hands and say, send me, God. I want to be a worker in your kingdom. So this week, I want you to go out and I want you to think about, like when we walk out of these doors, I want us to think about the tasks God has assigned us, the assignments that we have in our life, and whether we are completing them and then sitting on our hands, or if we're completing them and listening to God's voice. Because God's voice is not the most loud in the room. It's a still small voice. The enemy will yell at you all day long and tell you, oh, urgency, right now. That's, we got to do, oh, freak out. You know, alarm bell's going off. It's not how God operates. God is calm, cool, collected, and loving, merciful, just. When we listen to that voice, we will know exactly what we're called to do in that moment and be a part of his kingdom. Let's pray. God, we lift up our plans and we give them to you. We roll them to you. Let us leave them at the cross and never look back. And let us be people who hear your voice, who hear your assignments and move on them. That we don't wait, we don't stall, that we know your plans are good and we trust that that plan has been designed for us, for your kingdom. God, I pray that in this room today, people who are feeling, man, I missed the mark there. I've totally blown my assignments. I've been sitting on my hands for years now. God, just reveal to them how much you love them. You're not wagging your finger at them, telling you're lazy. I can't believe you're, no. Show them how much you love them and how much you are pursuing them and how much you want them to be a part of this kingdom. How much you want them to be an instrument of your love and of your compassion. And God, I pray that nobody leave here today without feeling that love. A love that is restorative and healing. A love that will ultimately change the world. God, I pray also as we go into this July 4th, specifically for this country, that we appreciate the blessing we have here and that we don't squander that blessing, that you give us the downloads we need to lead and be an example, your example in Christ. And God, I pray that our hearts are open and soft, that we love in a way that is exceptional, that is against this world, that makes people want more of you. And Lord, we pray this all in your Son's precious name. Amen.